The world is changing fast, but you can learn it at a slower pace.
Special English.
You're listening to Special English. Here is the news.
China has unveiled guidelines for the resolute enforcement of a 10-year fishing ban in the Yangtze River. According to a document issued by the General Office of the State Council, the fishing ban's implementation is a key measure in the promotion of the high-quality development of the Yangtze Economic Belt and in the restoration of the vitality of China's Mother River. The guidelines state that the relevant government departments should consider the enforcement of the fishing ban to be a top priority, strengthen coordination and supervision, optimize law enforcement mechanisms, and improve cross-departmental and cross-regional law enforcement cooperation. They also urge efforts to step up the protection of rare and endangered species found in or around the Yangtze River, as well as efforts to restore habitats, strengthen the prevention and control of exotic species, and accelerate ecological restoration.
This is Special English.
China's Zhichao 2 relay satellite has successfully performed a near-moon-breaking procedure and entered its circumlunar orbit. According to the China National Space Administration, after approximately 112 flight hours, the satellite began near-moon braking at a distance of about 440 kilometers from the lunar surface and entered its circumlunar orbit smoothly 19 minutes later. By adjusting the altitude and inclination of its circumlunar orbit, the satellite will enter its target elliptical orbit around the Moon and carry out a communication test with the Chang'e 4 and Chang'e 6 lunar probes as planned. Near moon braking is the most critical orbit control action during lunar satellite flight. A satellite must begin braking when approaching the Moon to maintain a speed lower than the Moon's escape velocity so that it can be captured by the Moon's gravitational force and realize circumlunar flight. Two communication and navigation technology test satellites, Tiandu 1 and Tiandu 2, were sent into space together with Zhichao 2. They also completed near-moon breaks and entered their circumlunar orbits. The separation of the two satellites will be carried out as planned. Zhichao 2, which translates to Magpie Bridge 2, was launched on March the 20th to provide Earth-Moon communication services. It will undertake lunar exploration missions, such as sample retrieval on the far side of the Moon, and an exploration of the lunar South Pole region.
You're listening to Special English.
A special exhibition featuring the Old Summer Palace, also known as Yuan Ming Yuan, has commenced at the Hong Kong Palace Museum. Entitled Yuan Ming Yuan, Art and Culture of an Imperial Garden Palace, the exhibition was jointly organized by the Hong Kong Palace Museum, the Palace Museum in Beijing, and the Yuan Ming Yuan Administration Office. It is the second time that Hong Kong Palace Museum has hosted an exhibition of the precious collections of the Palace Museum, since its opening in July 2022. Featuring more than 190 pieces or sets of cultural artifacts, including paintings, calligraphy works, and utensils. The exhibition offers a glimpse into the life and aesthetic taste of the emperors, as well as the design of the Garden Palace. According to the Yuanming Yuan Administration Office, some of the exhibits were unearthed in recent years and were displayed outside the old Summer Palace for the first time. During the exhibition, multimedia technology has been applied, allowing viewers to vividly experience the history, culture, and artistry related to the old Summer Palace. Officially opened to the public on March the 20th, the exhibition runs until August the 12th.
This is Special English.
The French musical Don Juan has embarked on a tour of China, an event timed to coincide with celebrations for the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between China and France this year. The legend of Don Juan originated in Spain and was later introduced to France. The musical was created by French composer Felix Gray in 2003 and was put on the stage by director Gilles Mayhew a year later. Featuring plentiful flamenco dance performances and songs of various genres, the production has been well received. The musical will be staged in cities including Shanghai, Beijing, Hangzhou, as well as Guangzhou, Shenzhen, and Xiamen.
You're listening to Special English.
More than 2.5 million people in China took part in marathon events as of the end of last year. Data released by the Chinese Athletics Association shows that since 2016, at least 2.5 million people in China completed a marathon or half-marathon event by the end of 2023, with more than 640,000 taking part in full marathons and 1.8 million in half-marathons. Last year saw some 700 road-running events held across China, each involving a minimum of 800 participants. Meanwhile, professional and amateur runners have made rapid progress. He Jie and Yang Xiaohui lowered the national men's marathon record twice at the 2023 Wuxi Marathon and 2023 Fukuoka International Marathon, respectively, beating the previous record set by Ren Longyun back in 2007. Almost 12,000 athletes broke the three-hour barrier. Wang Nan, vice president of the Chinese Athletic Association, said that such road-running events had not only boosted the sports consumer market, but also contributed to the economic growth of the host cities. Wang said that the Chinese Athletic Association aims to improve the quality of China's road running events from 2024 to 2026 by standardizing competition organization, strengthening supervision, increasing training efforts, as well as strengthening healthcare and security, and optimizing the education system.
This is Special English.
We all enter this world with a universal greeting. We then learn to speak.
Bonjour, comment allez-vous?
Dobré utro.
Hoy estoy muy contenta.
Though our languages, cultures, and traditions may differ, we still share one thing in common. We have hope for humanity and the world.
Donated an additional
German railway company Deutsche Bahn.
Director of the International Monetary Fund, United Nations Climate.
Hear the difference with CGTN Radio. Join our global network to connect with the world.
CGTN Radio. Hear the difference.
You're listening to Special English.
At a hydrogen refueling station on an expressway linking the city of Chengdu and Chongqing municipality in southwest China, Yang Wenbin is refueling his hydrogen fuel cell vehicle, which can be finished in 5 minutes. Yang said that the vehicle can run more than 500 kilometers once the tank is filled up, adding that the vehicle is very powerful when climbing a slope with a heavy load. In late 2021, Chongqing cooperated with Sichuan Province to build a hydrogen corridor, which will see around 1,000 hydrogen fuel cell logistics vehicles going into service by 2025, along with some hydrogen refueling stations being built. Currently, more than 100 such vehicles are travelling between the two cities every day. Last December, a major hydrogen supply centre became operational in Chongqing. Running at full capacity, the facility can supply 6,400 kilograms of high-purity hydrogen per day, refilling the tanks for 260 heavy-duty trucks. That is according to Liu Huabin, Deputy General Manager of the Chongqing Petrochemical Sales Company of Sinopec, China's main oil refiner. Liu noted the program is expected to help reduce carbon dioxide emissions by 27,000 tons per year. Eyeing the potential, many enterprises in Chongqing have rolled out new car models, while key supporting enterprises have taken root there. Qingling Motors, a Chongqing-based commercial vehicle manufacturer, is one of them. To date, the company has sold more than 500 hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. Zheng Ke, marketing director of the company, noted that they look to expand the market to the Yangtze River Economic Belt and regions along the new international land-sea trade corridor. With the aim of pursuing high quality and green growth, China has announced that it will strive to peak carbon dioxide emissions by 2030 and achieve carbon neutrality by 2060.
This is Special English. Floral cultural products have become increasingly popular as people go outside to appreciate the blooming flowers across China. For example, crowds are flocking into Yuyuantan Park, a scenic spot in Beijing known for its cherry blossoms, to take photos of its flower-shaped popsicles. The park announced earlier that it will be upgrading its cultural creative products, including cherry blossom bracelets, scarves, and blankets. Meanwhile, cultural creative speciality shops have set up spring display sections when the weather gets warmer. A speciality shopkeeper, based in Beijing's Wangfujing shopping street, said their display section, decorated with floral ornaments, has attracted many customers to take photos, driving sales growth at the same time. Beijing is not the only city that enjoys these blossoming trends. For Luoyang, an ancient city located in central China's Henan province, the peony season has been drawing crowds.
Regarded as a symbol of longevity and prosperity, the peony has long been favoured by Chinese people. The Cultural Product Studio of the Luoyang Museum has launched a new product, Juyen Mirror, a cosmetic mirror that is decorated with peony and lotus flower patterns on its back. So far, this product has become a hit in the museum's Taobao flagship store. In addition to an attractive appearance and auspicious meaning, customers are also looking for cultural value in products. Thus, a number of brands and designers are combining floral elements with traditional Chinese culture to gain a competitive edge in the market. Individual designer Li Jing posted her collection of 24 solar terms floral patterns and received more than 1,500 likes on Xiaohongshu, a lifestyle-sharing social platform in China. Each pattern is themed on the symbolic flower that blooms around the specific solar terms. For the spring equinox, or Chunfen, Li picked magnolia, which generally flowers in early spring as well. Li is planning to commercialize her creativity by developing cultural products based on these patterns. Li said that badges made of metal and acrylic are in production, and she also plans to make tri-colored glazed pottery ornaments based on these patterns. Dozens of her followers have expressed their intention to buy in the comment section. On the reason for combining traditional culture with floral elements, Li said that cultural memories assist the creative products in sustainable development, which will attract customers in the long term.
You're listening to Special English. Archaeologists have discovered a total of 85 ancient sites from the Sui Dynasty and later periods in the Heng Shui section of the Grand Canal, located in North China's Hebei Province. The survey, spanning 350 square kilometers, has uncovered 85 ancient sites, which include remnants of ancient cities, villages, residential structures, as well as tombs, handicraft industries, and traces of water transportation. That is according to Hu Qiang, an archaeologist with the Hebei Provincial Institute of Cultural Relics and Archaeology. Among the archaeological finds, the ancient city sites along the Grand Canal could date back to the dynasties of Tang and Song, which indicates that several regional centers had formed around the Grand Canal in ancient China. Notably, the ancient Gonggao city site, unearthed in Fuchang County, is the highest level urban site found in this archaeological survey, which dates back to the Tang Dynasty over 1,100 years ago. Shi Jinju, director of the county-level Cultural Relics Protection Institute, said that Gonggao was established as the seat of government of Guangzhou and Jingzhou during the Tang Dynasty. With a history of more than 2,500 years, the Grand Canal, connecting Beijing and Hangzhou in East China's Zhejiang province, served as a significant transportation artery in ancient China. You're listening to Special English.
That is the end of this edition of Special English. To recap, I'm going to read two of the news items again at normal speed. Please listen carefully. China's Shichao 2 relay satellite has successfully performed a near-moon braking procedure and entered its circumlunar orbit, according to the China National Space Administration, after approximately 112 flight hours, the satellite began near moon braking at a distance of about 440 kilometers from the lunar surface and entered its circumlunar orbit smoothly 19 minutes later. By adjusting the altitude and inclination of its circumlunar orbit, Zhichao 2 will enter its target elliptical orbit around the Moon and carry out a communication test with the Chang'e 4 and Chang'e 6 lunar probes as planned. Near Moon braking is the most critical orbital control action during lunar satellite flight. A satellite must begin braking when approaching the Moon to maintain a speed lower than the Moon's escape velocity, so that it can be captured by the Moon's gravitational force and realize circumlunar flight. Two communication and navigation technology test satellites, Tiandu 1 and Tiandu 2, were sent into space together with Zhichao 2. They also completed near-moon breaks and entered their circumlunar orbits. The separation of the two satellites will be carried out as planned. Zhichao 2, which translates to Magpie Bridge 2, was launched on March the 20th to provide Earth-Moon communication services. It will undertake lunar exploration missions, such as sample retrieval on the far side of the Moon and an exploration of the lunar South Pole region.
This is Special English.
Floral cultural products have become increasingly popular as people go outside to appreciate the blooming flowers across China. For instance, crowds are flocking into Yuyuantan Park, a scenic spot in Beijing known for its cherry blossoms, to take photos of its flower-shaped popsicles. The park earlier announced an upgrading of its cultural creative products, including cherry blossom bracelets, scarves and blankets. Meanwhile, cultural creative speciality shops have set up spring display sections when the weather gets warmer. A speciality shopkeeper based in Beijing's Wanfujing shopping street said their display section decorated with floral ornaments had attracted many customers to take photos, driving sales growth at the same time. Beijing is not the only city that enjoys these blossoming trends. For Luoyang, an ancient city located in central China's Henan province, the peony season has been drawing crowds. Regarded as a symbol of longevity and prosperity, the peony has long been favored by Chinese people. The cultural product studio of the Luoyang Museum has launched a new product, Juyan Mirror, a cosmetic mirror that is decorated with peony and lotus flower patterns on its back. So far, this product has become a hit in the museum's Taobao flagship store. In addition to an attractive appearance and auspicious meaning, customers are also looking for cultural value in products. Thus, a number of brands and designers are combining floral elements with traditional Chinese culture to gain a competitive edge in the market. Individual designer Li Jing posted her collection of 24 solar terms floral patterns and received more than 1,500 likes on Xiaohongshu, a lifestyle-sharing social platform in China. Each pattern is themed on the symbolic flower that blooms around the specific solar terms. For the spring equinox, or Chunfen, Li picked magnolia, which generally flowers in early spring as well. Li is planning to commercialize her creativity by developing cultural products based on these patterns. Li said that badges made of metal and acrylic are in production, and she also plans to make tri-colored glazed pottery ornaments based on these patterns. Dozens of her followers have expressed their intention to buy in the comment section. On the reason for combining traditional culture with floral elements, Li said that cultural memories assist the creative product in sustainable development, which will attract customers in the long term. That is the end of today's program. I hope you'll join us every day to learn English at a slower pace.